We give God all the praise, all the glory, all the honor, and all the adoration. It is because of Him that we are not consumed. It's because of Him that we are not consumed. We are going to read, we're going to start our Bible study by reading two portions of the scripture. We'll start from the first one, and which is one of the scriptures we read. I don't know if it's on Sunday or Thursday, Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Tonight, I still want us to press further into some spiritual understanding as regards life in the spirit. As regards life in the spirit. If you can have your video on, you put it on if you can. Life in the spirit. It is very, very important that we grasp we come into this understanding. So we will, the life in the spirit, you know, this is a very, very important reality. I will prefer not to say topic, because it's not a topic. And it's a major place where we need to really know how to live in the spirit. You see, because many times when we're talking about life in the spirit, we come up with a lot of ideas that is not necessarily life in the spirit. Many times, religiosity, you know, has made us to substitute, we have substituted it for life in the spirit, you see. But as we kept praying, I felt the Lord was telling me that we still need to have a grasp of it, of life in the spirit. And when I mean life in the spirit, I'm also talking about living in the kingdom. Because the life that is in the spirit is the life of the kingdom. That's why the Bible talks about righteousness, peace, and joy in the spirit, in the Holy Spirit. It now says that is the kingdom of God. You see? So, life in the spirit is also the life of the kingdom. You see? And Romans chapter 12 gives us an introductory statement that hands to us a very fundamental key. And this key is so important that the apostle is literally pleading with us, you see. And he starts his letter with, "I beseech you therefore, brethren." So it's like a plea. He's begging us. It's as though this is such an important course that if you do not pass this course, you are not going anywhere. And he's saying, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." You see, there is the use of language here is such a very deep language. It's a deep language because we see Paul begging us, and is also evoking one of the strongest forces, one of the strongest force or material for divine things, which is the mercy of the Lord. And so we see a mixture of a man pleading with us from the depth of his emotions and also evoking God's mercy. And the premise and the basis of that is that he is requesting that there ought to be a type of presenting of the body. And the use of body here is also a very fantastic language, because it talks about the full materials that makes a man, both tangible and intangible. And that's why it's called bodies. It's talking about the presentation of our spirits, the presentation of our souls, and at the same time, the presentation of our spirits. And the apostle is here begging us by God's mercy, and at the same time, he's telling us that the point of this request is for us to willfully decide to present, or better put, to submit the entirety of our existence. And then he's also making us clear that it's going to be a type of sacrifice, or is going to be a sacrifice, a living sacrifice. That is to say, we are not submitting our bodies because there are no options. We're not submitting the body because there are no options. He's saying that in the midst of options, in the midst of options, and in the presence of our will, we now make a decision to take everything that represents us, and we put it on the altar. And this is so powerful because, as deep as this is, the apostle wrapped up this statement by telling us that that will be the only reasonable thing we can do. So serious. You see, it's like somebody telling you to submit yourself and join the Nigerian army because there is a current battle, and that the battle is so fearsome. And someone is saying the best decision you can make right now is to resign from that tech company that you are working in and to hurry up and join the Nigerian army and go to the front line, knowing clearly the possibility that you are not going to return. And the person is saying that this is not really a big deal. He's saying that any other thing you do aside from this is going to be a foolish thing. So we see here that the beginning of Christianity is that it starts from an end. Christianity starts from depths. And many times we are hoping to grow into depths, whereas we're meant to have begun from depths. I don't know if you're getting what I'm talking about. And many times we expect that when I grow, I will be able to present my bodies as a living sacrifice. But we see this scripture is saying that actually, that is your reasonable service. That is to say, anything you have been doing before that, you have been completely unreasonable. And the word unreasonable is such a rich word, because what it connotes and what it teaches and what it explains is that, you see, it's like saying that if we do not do this, if we do not present our bodies as a living sacrifice unto the Lord, it's almost saying that we are very foolish people. And when you look at, when you say it's your reasonable service, let's investigate that word a little bit. Tonight we are talking about life in the spirit. Oh yes, Lord. The Lord is good all the time. I'm searching The word reasonable is from the same word rational, logical. Same logical. This is a very serious thing. It's from the word logical. And you see, sometimes what we call spiritual growth is just, you are just being logical. Oh, I'm happy about tonight. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. No wonder we see why he's begging us. He's literally begging us, and he is afraid that we will choose to be unreasonable. He is afraid that we will choose to be foolish. It's as though the apostle is seeing the possibilities of folly. It's almost saying that, you know, it's like telling a man to put water in his car. It's like telling a man that, please, when you drive this car, remember to put water in it. Like, that is a logical thing for you to do. It's like telling a man that as you are stepping out, please, make sure you buy fuel. Are you with me? It's like saying, make sure you are traveling. You are traveling from London to Oxford. Say, please, there is no fuel in that car. Make sure you buy fuel. Now, when that man punches the closest filling station on the map and drives to the filling station, he has not done anything spectacular. He is not fantastic. He is not supernatural. He is not deep. That is his reasonable service. He is being reasonable because he can now begin to enjoy. Are we together here? He can now begin to enjoy the purpose for which he has a car. And Paul is saying that if we do not submit our bodies as a living sacrifice, he's saying that the very point of Christianity, the very essence of the faith, will be lost on you. And though you are alive, but you see, you will be living as one who is dead. So Christianity begins, and Christianity is operational when a man has decided to present his bodies as a living sacrifice. And there are various words in this beautiful text. One of the words there is that the presentation of our bodies. What does it mean to present? It means to willfully go and submit that which you had the chance of using it for yourself. It's like you see, when in the Nigerian police, when you are arrested in Nigeria, I don't know how what happens here. There is a way the criminal, when they are going to put you in cell, there is a way you use your hand to remove your own clothes. You will remove your clothes, you remove your belt, everything, you will fold it, and you will hand it over. Now, when you bought it, you went to buy it in the boutique by yourself. But when you have been arrested, you see, there is no complaint about submitting your clothes or not. That is your ticket to entering the cell. You will not enter the cell with your clothes. You have to submit it. In the same vein, there ought to be a submission. Now, in this point, in this case, we are not submitting what we have. Right now, we are first submitting who we are. That is to say, we hand over the document of ownership of our of who we are, and then we hand over the document to the original owner, which is the one who created us, but not just created us, he went further to also purchase us back after we were dead in sin. And so he's saying that now that you have now come to Christ, it's not reasonable for you to go your way and for you to live the way you have chosen to live. The only reasonable thing to do is to now be aware, to understand and to appreciate and to realize and to execute the truth of submitting ownership. Submitting ownership because you are not going to walk. The new creation is not going to walk when it is operated by your will. The new creation doesn't have the ability to run on your ownership. When you own it, it will not work. The new creation doesn't work when it is owned by the old creation. Ownership of the new creation pauses it from fulfilling and from executing its potentials. And so it is completely unreasonable to buy a powerful German car and refuse to fuel it. Now, the only way we can fuel the new creation, the only way it works, is when you recognize that it is not your own. You do not own it. You do not own it. You do not own it. And so you have to willfully go and submit it to the one who owns it. And then we are also told, we are also pleaded with, that we do not just submit a part of it, that we have to pack all of our bodies. Everything that represents our identity must be packed and it must be given to the Lord. Our spirits are owned by Him. Our soul must be handed over to Him. Our mind must be handed over to Him. Our intellect must be handed over to Him. But most especially, our will must be handed over to Him. And then also our physical body is being handed over to Him. Now, anytime you live outside this, you are living far from logic. You are not being logical. And then in the realm of the spirit, you are perceived as one that is insane. You are perceived as one that is mentally challenged and one that is deep in foolishness, because life stops as you own it. As we own the life in this, as we own our lives, it cannot operate. It doesn't operate via our ownership. And so we have to submit it. And then the Bible says it's going to be a living sacrifice. That is to say, we are not submitting it from the standpoint of that which is completely useless to us. It means that the use of our lives will be right in front of us. The potentials and the abilities of our lives, what we could have otherwise done. And so it's not something that you give because it has become worthless. It's not something that you give because if you didn't give it, there will be no use of it. No, it's something that we give, that we keep seeing the possibilities and the potentials of it. We see it right in front of us, and at the same time, we have tamed ourselves and tamed it to know that even though you are living, but you are no longer permitted to live unto yourself, but you are now living unto your Maker, your Master, and your Savior. And now the Savior now begins to direct the life in this sacrifice, direct it wherever it chooses to direct it. We do not dictate where our lives will be useful. We do not dictate the places where we are going to use it. No, we do not do that. He now determines where He wants to use it, or whether He will use it or not. Now, a lot of people are used to giving the Lord their lives when they have made a mess of it, and when the thing has become completely worthless even to them. And they say, Lord, can you do something with this? And then you will still take it. But primarily the conversation we have in this scripture is that this is a living sacrifice. That is to say, at the point where you have legitimate reasons to be angry, you will now find out that you do not have the right to use this anger. He now determines when the anger can be used. You now need to find out from Him whether this anger, the deployment of this anger, whether it is occasioned or sanctioned from heaven. And then that now determines. So it's not that you can't get angry anymore, it's that you can still see your anger at work. It's living in the sacrifice. The anger is there, it's in the sacrifice. But right now, because you have handed yourself to someone else, you do no longer now determine, you know, how to use the anger, or whether you should even be angry again. So when you are angry, you would ask yourself, is this anger permitted in the heavens? And the heaven will tell you whether you are permitted to be angry or not. You know, and then you will decide what to do with that anger. And sometimes it will be in the area of your intelligence. And then the Lord will begin to let you know that on this matter, I have refrained you from acting with your cerebral knowledge. I have ordered you to do something else. And sometimes It's your time, and sometimes it will be your resources, and then he begins to determine where the resources is going. It's not because you are poor, you have surrendered your resources to him. It's that the resources are there, all the stores are still opened, all the things you can use it for are still there. But because you have now become a living sacrifice, then he now begins to determine what you do. And the Bible says that when you begin to live like this, you have just started to live. You have not entered into a type of debt. It says, it's asking us, would you rather be foolish or be reasonable? If you do this, you are just being a reasonable person. Not a deep person, not a special person. You are just a reasonable person. And it says this will be your reasonable sacrifice. This will be the only reasonable service that the Lord will count. So that every time you lift up your hands, the premise of worship that must ring in our souls is that I'm not my own. I am not my own. Spirit, soul, and body. And it is in this place that the power of God begins to work. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, Rabaka Shala Dabea Seke Debe Shekeke Boradasia. Aragabalagadosia Baragadila Bashekledosinamana. Now, until this happens, whatever is at work in your life is not the Spirit. Until this happens, the Spirit is not at work. Until this happens, whatever is at work in your life are the energies of the fallen man, which has no capacity to bring change and reformation to you, change and reformation to your environment, and change and reformation to the things that you tamper with. Until this happens to you, the Holy Spirit is not the one working. The Holy Spirit only works when this reasonable service is in place. Without this reasonable service, the Spirit of the Lord will not be at work. And whenever the Spirit of God is not at work, then we have to revert to a life that is void, a life full of darkness, and a life that is completely without form. It is the Holy Spirit that re-engineers the life and causes the life to ascend to Zion. The Spirit is the tall guard that takes us to the couch of heaven and that causes us to ascend the mountains of the Lord. But this tall guard can only guard us when this presentation has taken place. And it is in this presentation, oh yes, this is the presentation that opens us up to the kingdom. Without this, we are not in the kingdom. The kingdom is only lived by the people who have presented their bodies. There is nobody in the kingdom who has not presented their bodies. Qualification to live in the kingdom is the presentation of our bodies. That is what qualifies us to live in the kingdom. Now, you might be born again, but you are not in the kingdom. You can be born again, but you are not living in the kingdom. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. But except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot have progress in the kingdom. But the beginning of our life in the kingdom, the beginning of our life in the kingdom is when that surrender has taken place. When the surrender has not taken place, the kingdom life becomes a difficult life. Do you know the Bible says that my commandments are not grievous? But it is grievous when you are in the flesh. When you own yourself, the commandments of God look grievous. But when you have stepped into the kingdom, you will find out that his commandments are not grievous. You cannot live kingdom life until this presentation has taken place. This surrender has taken place. Oh, Shabbat. Without the surrender taking place, God will not appear in the scene. God will not appear in the scene. God will not appear. You will never see the appearance of God as the one who can give advancement and progress in divine things and in divine life. So the life of the Spirit is preceded by our surrendering of our bodies, the loss of ownership, until you intentionally decide to lose ownership. It's you do it like a corporate, like a man submits his cloth to the jail warder. He doesn't force us to do it. You have to be the one to take it to him and give it to him. And when that happens, all the possibilities of your flesh will still remain, but they will not be controlled by you anymore. They will not be controlled by another. All the human possibilities. Listen, the life of a man is capsulated, or what's that word? The life of it's all enshrined, encapsulated in the wheel. The wheel is the bank of our possession. All of our possession is banked in a reality called the wheel. That is where a man, you see, when a man gives his wheel, he has given his possession. The possession is in the wheel. You know, when you read the will of a dead man, all that is contained in that will is his possession. But contained in that, what is the will? It's not just the possession that is the will. The writing of the possession is not the will. It is the direction of the possession. It means his intention for the possession is the will. It's not what he has that is his will. It is that he can decide who he wants to give it to. It is what he wants to do that is called the will. So the will is where our possessions are. And so many times what we do is that we sometimes give God some of our possessions, but yet retain the will. You see, but that is not an acceptable offering. You see, immediately after the fall of man, the next demand that God began to have for man is the will. The next thing God began to ask is the will. And that was what Cain was not intending to give to the Lord. He was willing to bring an offering, but he did not bring his will. That is why the Bible says that God received the Cain Abel and his sacrifice. The Abel that God received was Abel's will. It was his will that made him, his sacrifice, acceptable. What Cain brought was that Cain brought possessions, but he did not bring the will. Now, the retaining of the will, the retaining of our will is what is called sin. Sin is not an action. Sin is the retention of your will. That is what sin is. That's why God told Cain that sin lies at your door and his intention is to lay hold of you. So the will, the retention of our will is sin. And that was what entered into Lucifer. It was his will that he received. He collected his will. And that's why when you read the prophets, you begin to see the sin of Lucifer. He said, I will, I will, I will, I will. That will was the sin that entered inside him. It was to own the will. That is the sin. Sin is the will. So when you operate your will and you use your will, You are living in sin, and then you cannot, you will not experience the life that's in the Spirit. The life that's in the Spirit. So you see, your will is what is taking you away from the life that's in the Spirit. Can we take a moment and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost and just pray in the Spirit? Can you pray in the Spirit? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Yes, Lord. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. Yes, Lord. Oh, Rabba. Oh, Rabba Shakata Labarabababa. Oh, Rabba. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
You see, the Bible talks about God planting two gardens, putting two trees in the midst of the garden. You see, at the center of the garden. We have the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then God told the man, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You see? The Bible says that when she saw that the thing was good for food, then she picked it and ate it. You see, you might not fully understand this scripture because you don't have the spiritual, you were not in that spiritual state when that sin happened. So you might not really grasp it from your spiritual state. But you see, what happened there was the enforcing of man's will. Man chose his will. Are you with me? Man chose his will. It was the first time that man lived independent. It was what you call sin is independence. That's the sin. The sin there is independent. Now, when you look at this old world, and the old sin you are seeing here is independence. That's the sin. Is independence. You see. But when you go to the second garden, which is the one that happened in Gethsemane, that's the second time. That was the second opportunity when the second man came, the last Adam. The last Adam said, Lord, can this cup, you see, it says, take this cup away from me. That is his own will. Are you seeing that? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Are we together now? I don't know if you allow me tea tonight, if you are picking what I'm seeing.
Yes.
So it says, nevertheless, not my will, but your will. You can see that. Now, in the first garden, the man chose his own will. You see? He chose his own will. What is the will of man? The will of man is independence. A space where God is not. It's a space where God is not. When man feel the space. And in a wheel, are you together with me? In a wheel is a world. You see, anytime you enter wheel, what you have entered is a world. A vista is opened. So Adam entered the world of self. He found a world of self. You see. That's why people think that the greatest enemy we are battling is Satan. Satan is not the greatest enemy we are battling. That's why there are people who are enemies of God, and yet they don't believe in Satan. They don't partner with Satan. You don't understand? For someone to be an enemy of God, it doesn't need to be an herbalist. There are people who say, plus Satan or plus God. Both of them. So, because there is another one greater. It is the will. Shall I tell you what the will is? The will is false God. Are you together with me? It's false what? It's false God. It is the thought in the possibility that there can be another world outside the world that God owns. Or rather, let me put it this way. Outside the world that God is. I'm already speaking above you.
No, sir. Follow me, sir.
So that's the will. That was the will that Adam stepped in. What would have been the destiny of mankind if Jesus had chosen the will, his will above God's will? Are you seeing this? Are you seeing that the will is a very powerful thing? That even Jesus, or even if Jesus had chosen his own will, if he had chosen his own will, we would not have come into redemption, into the kingdom. As great and as good as Jesus is, if anytime you step into, it is the greatest treason ever. So Paul is begging us and saying that, no, you have to submit that. You have to submit that thing. Anytime you operate your will, you have divorced yourself from the authority of the kingdom. You have left the kingdom. The kingdom is no longer governing you. So that's why you notice that immediately Adam picked his will. He picked it. Immediately Adam picked it. And you always have the choice to pick your will. Yes. But when you pick your will, you are going to go on a very serious expenditure. What do you call that? When somebody goes for a journey.
Progress.
Something someone goes for a journey. Is it expenditure?
Adventure.
No. Goes on a journey to discover things.
Adventure.
Expenditure. It's not expenditure. When somebody goes on a journey, those people who found that they use that word when we're learning about those who found America.
No adventure.
It's not adventure.
Conquest. It's expenditure, sir.
Eh?
It's expenditure, sir. Archaeology is good for expenditure. Geographers.
Have you checked it?
Excursion.
It's no excursion, Phoebe. Phoebe, it's no excursion, Phoebe. It's no excursion. Is it expenditure?
Yes, sir, it's expenditure.
Yes.
Exploration.
The one that have you read?
One of us went on an expenditure.
Expenditure. You put in all the geography. You've read it online, Abi. July.
I know, sir. I'm a brilliant boy.
All right. So you move when immediately you lay hold on your wheel. Are you listening to me? Hey. Immediately you lay hold on your wheel. You enter into an expenditure, into debt. You are going to find out discoveries on the depth, the breadth, the length, and the height of debt. You are going on a journey of debt. You will find memories. You are going to discover new things in debt. Look at the whole universe as fallen as it is. This is the journey of one man's will. That's what the Bible says. Through one man, sin entered. And by sin, death. It's just one man. He went on an expenditure of death. Oh, let me say something quickly. There are matters concerning your life that represent the will. There are matters concerning your life that God put them on the heading of my will. There are matters like that. Immediately, all those type of matters, if you choose your own will in those matters, you go on an expenditure of debt. I tell you the truth. There are matters concerning your life. You go on an expenditure of debt. Now, you might be expedition. The Lord forgive Jola. The Lord can forgive. Expedition.
Amen.
Expedition. The Lord forgive him. The great forgiver will forgive him. You go on an expedition of debt. Now, there are matters in your life that represent the will of the Lord. It's not just the matter. It is connected to the will. So you are thinking, God said, I should marry this person. No, it's not the marriage. Is that particular information is connected to the will. The sovereignty of God has connected that matter to the will. One of such is Judas' betrayal of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't forget, that is not the only sin. All the apostles had various sins. Peter also had his own sin. But that particular matter for Judas, that matter is connected to the will. And immediately he broke that matter, he will not have history with life again. He will now find out the end of death, if death has an end. He will go on an expenditure of death. You see that? But when you lay hold on the wheel via the logical presentation, oh, be quiet. The logical presentation of your bodies to the Lord, as you progress in that lifestyle, you will be moving from life to life, from glory to glory.
You will go on an expedition of life.
You see this. You see that we have to hurriedly, a lot of tongue-talking believers are not living in the kingdom because they don't even know anything about the will of God. The Holy Spirit is the umpire that guides us into that will. The Holy Spirit. I was wondering about tonight. I was wondering because I've been waiting on the Lord. And then the Lord did not tell me what I was going to preach. Very strange thing. I kept wondering. I put my phone aside again. I said, okay, let me seek him. I was seeking the Lord. He did not tell me. Then when we started praying, he now told me about teach again about life in the Spirit. He says, teach them again about life in the Spirit. This thing I'm teaching you, you have two options. You can come towards it, or you can go. That's how they teach it. This particular teaching I'm teaching, the way they teach it is like this, in the realms of the Spirit. You can go. That's how they teach it. They don't used to force anybody here. You can go. But you will not know life if you do not tamper with this. Oh, let me read a scripture to you. So, the Holy Spirit is that umpire. That's why, have you not noticed? Have you not, don't you know that as your matters, the Holy Spirit does not give up on? Have you not noticed? Have you not noticed that there are some matters? You know, there are some matters. You will say, God, forgive me, and you are forgiven. You just say, God, forgive me, and the matter has gone. But have you not noticed that there are some matters that the Holy Spirit will say, it's as though your relationship with God paused until you fixed it. Did you not notice those matters? As though you can't continue with God. You see, those matters are the matters that are connected to the will. If you win in those matters, you have gone on a generational expedition. You are gone. Your skin will be fresh. Your bank account will be full. You will be doing well. But you are gone. And you are not an address of where God lives. You are not one of those addresses. Are you with me? Let me read to you Hebrews chapter 10. Let me read to you Hebrews chapter 10. You know, I believe that this kind of things is my own calling. It's my calling. This is my calling. It's my calling. They gave me the one that is not fun, the one that is not interesting. This is my color. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. Are you seeing that? So, Jesus Christ said, I'm aware of a book. One. And it is a full book. It's full. It's a volume of books. It's a volume book. It has chapters in that book. That's one. Two, to do your will, O God. Now, what activates that book is the posture of one who has surrendered his own will to do the will. Are you with me? So, your book does not open until you have laid hold of his will. You are a doer of the will, then the chapters of your book will be opened. Now, if you are not engaging the will, you will not fulfill any book. That is why you will have to pursue success. Are you with me? Success is for those who have no access to their book. When you have no access to your book, you have to be a technocrat or a banker or something, and that will be all about you. But when you have access to that book, the life of Jehovah will be unveiling, will be manifesting from your within. You will be having access to the kingdom of God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offering for sin, you did not desire nor have pleasure in them which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. It takes away the first that they may establish the second. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body. How did Jesus access it? Through the offering of the body. Romans now says, I beseech you to offer this body. As you offer the body, you have access to that will. You have access to the kingdom. You have access to the spirit. You have access to the glory. You have access to the power. It is those who have offered their bodies, who have surrendered themselves and handed over themselves to the Lord. And say, I don't own myself, he owns me. And those who allow the Lord to operate them, they are the ones who will be able to access the wheel and will be able to do according to the volume of the book that is written concerning them. So life, the fulfillment in life is not a brilliant idea. It's a glorious document. Fulfillment in life is not a brilliant idea. It's a glorious document. May we not leave the document and fall to brilliance and fall to intellect. May we fulfill the contents of that document. Let us pray in the Holy Spirit for a little while. Let us pray in the Holy Ghost for a little while. Let us pray in the Holy Ghost for a little while. Yes, Lord. Ask the Lord to enlighten your eyes that you might see that you might see. That you might see. Ask him for opening of eyes. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. My God. Ask for opening of eyes. Oh, yes. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Oh Lord my God. Let your Holy Spirit bring your people to surrender. Let your Holy Spirit bring our hearts to surrender. Let our hearts see this. Let us see this.
Amen.
I pray for everyone on this broadcast. And also very importantly, for those who shall listen to this later, that they will obtain a miracle of surrender from the Spirit.
Amen.
Let the Spirit activate surrender in them.
Amen.
Let everyone listening to this willfully give their lives to the Lord. And let the Lord,
amen,
let the Lord rule and own these lives.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.